Blog Talk Radio.
God's love for you goes on and on. When other hearts have failed, this love forgave from Calvary's cross, where that love was nailed. You must believe He wants the best for you, though your prayers have yet to show. So let your heart be strong and your faith arise as I give you what I know. Well, I know there's a God in heaven who saves, who delivers, and heals. For He gave His Son, the Lamb of God, the Savior.
Hey, this is Ann Windsor here at the Zoe Radio Network, and today we're going to conclude a reading of the account that Dr. John G. Lake gave of a series of meetings that he had in Pretoria, South Africa, and it's entitled Remarkable Manifestations of the Spirit. If you might want to go and listen to part one, and then I'm continuing on today with part two by the same title. He was in Pretoria. He'd been invited to come there and visit, and the congregation that he was there to minister to were strangers to him. A man came to see him. Reminds me of Ananias in the book of Acts, how the Holy Spirit spoke to Ananias and told him to go and find a man by the name of Saul who was praying. And he told Ananias exactly where to find him. Well, the same thing happened with this gentleman in South Africa. So we see here the gifts of the Spirit in operation. The word of knowledge and also prophecy came into play. The gift of prophecy came into play by this man's visit. So the Holy Spirit told him when to go, where to go, what time to go, and he went by the Spirit and found the house where Dr. Lake was staying, shared some things with him about the world conditions, and then he also told him by the Spirit that the meeting that he was about to conduct in Pretoria would be marked with extraordinary manifestations of the Spirit, that these manifestations of the Spirit would eventuate in a profound impression of the majesty and power of God upon the minds of the people, and in later years would create a stimulus of faith in God throughout the world. I have to say that definitely has happened. My goodness, this is 2015. This was probably 100 years ago. And here we are today. I find that the topic of John G. Lake, his teachings, his ministry, is one of the searches on the internet that get some of the most hits, they call them. So Dr. Lake, it is true, his ministry has created faith in God throughout the entire world, faith in God for the remarkable manifestations of the Spirit. In the last reading where we started on this topic, we read about a man by the name of Jabber. And I think I'd like to go out back and just pick up there, review down through that, because then we're going on, Dr. Lake is giving an account then of the Jabber Girl, another part of this family by the name of Jabber, and then he is concluding with the descent of the spirit upon the Jabber family in their home. So I just wanted to give you the background on this family before we go on reading today. So we'll just pick up, review a little bit of our past reading, and then go on. On Sunday morning, as the service progressed, a gentleman of prominence, who was an employee of the government, came into the meeting. Mr. Jabber, a man of great stature. As he walked into the church, the Spirit of the Lord fell upon him while walking up the aisle, and he fell prostrate on the floor. Several sons were present in the audience, and Mrs. Jabber was conducting the choir. The mother, daughter, and sons gathered from their places in the audience and reverently knelt in a semicircle about him, while the audience remained in quiet prayer. The Spirit of the Lord dealt marvelously with him, revealing his sins and Christ unto salvation. Presently, the Spirit fell upon one of the sons, who fell prostrate by the side of the father, then upon another and another, until the whole family lay prostrate under the power of God. When the Spirit of the Lord had lifted somewhat from them, these sons confessed their disobedience to their parents and to God, and the whole family knelt with their arms around one another, melted by the tenderness of the presence and power of God. Confession and repentance on the part of each to the other and to God made the household of one soul. Words are a poor medium to describe such an event as this. It would have to be seen to be realized. The tenderness and conscious presence of God, the melting power of his mighty spirit, could only be understood by one who looked on. No words can tell the story. Notwithstanding these mighty manifestations of the spirit, I was anxious that the real working out of the spirit of God that would remove all character of denominational prejudices and those elements in man's nature that keep him from loving and serving God with the broadness in the beauty and grace of the holy charity, that these things should be utterly removed from people's hearts. Jabber Girl. As I was preaching during the afternoon, the Spirit fell on a young lady, Miss Jabber, a cousin of the family aforementioned. She fell from her chair prostrate on the floor, where she remained for a considerable time. The young gentleman who accompanied her and who reverently knelt beside her when she became prostrate was attracted by her desire to speak to him. She said to him, "Send Mr. Lake to me." I ceased preaching and went to her. I asked her what it was she wanted. She said, "Jesus came and talked to me and told me to tell Mr. Lake not to be discouraged tonight." About 4 p.m., I left the service and went home to rest. I had been on my feet so long without rest or sleep that it seemed as if I could continue no further. I laid down to sleep, saying, "Wake me at 7:30 for the evening service." I fell into a sound sleep, and when it came 7:30, the family reasoned that I was so exhausted that it would be a shame to wake me, and that they would endeavor to get through the evening service without my aid. However, I woke at 8 o'clock and hastened to the church. When I arrived, I found that in view of my absence, the church service was being conducted in their former formal manner, instead of the open character of services we had been having. An air of formality pervaded the house. The choir consisting of about 30 members, was in their place, including the organist, pianist, and director. The choir gallery was arranged with raised steps so that each row of singers sat above the other. The choir chairs were fastened together in sections, but were not fastened to the floor. When I came into the meeting, the pastor who was in charge invited me to preach in his stead. As I preached, my spirit was annoyed by the extreme air of formality that pervaded the meeting. And in my soul, I kept praying, God, do something with this choir. Do something to break up the formality of this service so there may be freedom of the spirit, that sinners' hearts may be melted and the power of God may descend upon the meeting and the baptism of the Spirit fall. Rather, a long prayer to pray while preaching. The Lord suddenly spoke within me, saying, go on with your service. I will take care of the choir. The anointing of the Spirit came powerfully upon me, and I spoke with great liberty in the Lord, and was soon lost in the Spirit, so that I forgot altogether about the choir, and the formality of the service entirely disappeared. I preached until 10 o'clock, when I stepped from the platform and knelt on the floor of the church to pray. An unusual spirit of prayer came upon me, the burden of which was so intense that caused me to pray out my soul to God in a more than ordinary manner. I was unable to speak in English any longer, and the Spirit caused me to pray in tongues. At such times, the Spirit of the Lord would give me the interpretation of the prayer in English, which would immediately follow the prayer in tongues. I was lost in prayer, but was conscious of a considerable noise. I did not raise my head or open my eyes until the burden of prayer was lifted from my soul. When I looked up, to my amazement, the audience was standing, and at the back of the house, many were standing on the seats and all looking forward toward the choir gallery. Turned toward the choir, I saw that the Spirit of the Lord had fallen upon the choir, and almost every one of them lay prostrate under the power of the Spirit. When they fell from their seats, they pushed the chairs on the row in front of them forward, so that the front legs of the chairs dropped over the edge of the narrow platform. The whole row would turn upside down on top of those who had fallen in the front row. The deacons of the church came and gathered the chairs off the prostrate ones as quickly as possible. The unbelievers in the house were startled and frightened at this manifestation, so that they arose and rushed out of the door. I instructed the doorkeeper to turn the key in the door and not permit anyone to come in. Overshadowed the house. I felt it was not time for unbelievers to be present. God wanted to deal with the church. I went and sat down in the audience. We remained perfectly quiet in prayer for some time. Then, one after another of the prostrate ones began to pray and confess their waywardness and sin to God. There seemed to be but one passion in their soul: to tell out to God the burden of their unbelief, of their sin, of their backslidings, and to call on God for forgiveness and restoration and power to overcome. As a soul confess out and pray through to the presence of God, the Spirit of the Lord would raise from them, and they would be permitted to arise. As they did so, they were in a perfectly normal state of mind, accepting that the awe of God's presence and power was mightily realized by each. Many sat and wept. Others sang for joy. Many were baptized in the Holy Spirit. One young man among the tenor singers lay on the lower platform. Close to him was his sweetheart, a young lady who was a member of the church. Like the others, he was pouring out the confession of his life to God and to her, telling of his peculiar sins, which were many and vile. Husbands were confessing to wives and wives to husbands, children to their parents, sweethearts to sweethearts, and all to God. The pianist, Mr. Braun, lay beside the piano stool for possibly an hour, helpless and speechless, the Spirit of God working in him. I was moved by the Spirit to go to him and pray. As I knelt beside him, my hands involuntarily moved to his breast. And laying my hands on his breast, I prayed. I did not know why I did so. I just obeyed the guidance of the Spirit. As I prayed, I was conscious of the Spirit flowing through me to him. I returned to my seat, and about half an hour, he began to pray out his heart to God. When he had finished, he motioned me to come to him. When I reached him, he said, "Send my wife to me." I went to the back of the house where his wife sat weeping and brought her to him. She knelt beside him. He put his arms about her and confessed that for 3 years he had been living in adultery. They wept together for hours. God worked so mightily in them that at 3 or 4 in the morning, they returned to their home, praising God together. The next day at 10 o'clock, he called on me to tell me that the Lord had baptized both him and his wife in the Holy Spirit, and that when they were baptized, the Spirit of God came upon both and caused them to speak in tongues and praise God in a spirit of prophecy. His spirit was aglow. He said, "When you prayed for me last night, why did you put your hands on my breast?" I replied, "I do not know. I simply obeyed the impulse of the Spirit." He asked, "Did you know I was sick and needed healing?" I said, "No, I did not know it." "Well," he said, "I want to show you something." Opening his clothing, he showed me a cancer on the breast, saying 3 years ago when I went into adultery, this cancer appeared on my body within a few days. I have endeavored to hide it from everyone. Even my wife did not know of its existence, no one but my physician. But look at it now. See how the power of God has withered it. It had turned brown as if burned by a fire, and in a few days it utterly disappeared. Among other things, the Spirit of the Lord directed Mr. Braun to make restitution to parties with whom he had had dishonest dealings at different times. One that I especially remember was this. He was employed by the government as a civil engineer on a monthly salary. He had been in the practice at intervals of filling out a report saying that he was sick and unable to attend to his duties and would be gone for some days. He was compelled to confess to his superiors this was not a fact, that he had used this time in recreation. The thoroughness with which God dealt with each and all of these was very remarkable. Lives were cleansed to the very inmost, every sin, both outward and secret. The Spirit of God had taken possession, and natures were changed into the likeness and nature of Jesus. These meetings were the beginning of a mighty work of God in Pretoria, which continues to this day. Next, descent of the Spirit upon the Jabber family in their home. I accompanied the Jabber family to their home at 75 Hamilton Street, Pretoria, when we left the meeting on Monday morning at 4 a.m. A meal was prepared and we sat down around a large dining room table, Mr. Jabber at one end of the table and Mrs. Jabber at the other end. As I gave thanks to God for the meal, the Spirit descended upon Mrs. Jabber, and she broke forth in angelic song in tongues. And we listened in rapture to a song of most exceeding sweetness and power. Mrs. Jabber was a trained singer, but under this anointing of the Spirit, she had a new voice of peculiar richness and depth. It surely was the song of the angels, and heaven itself had descended into her soul as she sang, were melted, as it were, into water. Then the Spirit fell on Mr. Jabber, and he was baptized in the Holy Ghost as he sat at the table. And the Spirit found vent through him in a volume of tongues of high praise and glorified exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ, who had saved him from his sins, sanctified his heart, and now consciously baptized him with the Holy Ghost. Mrs. Jabber, under the power of the Spirit, arose as if to come to him. At the same instant, he arose to go to her. They met in the middle of the floor. She was still singing the angelic song, and together they knelt on the floor. The rest of the family and myself arose from the table and reverently knelt around them. The song continued. The power of God fell on us until it seemed as if we were enveloped in glory or had been translated into the heavenlies. The neighbors who had attended the meeting and had not yet retired heard the singing and in amazement came to the house. The news spread around the neighborhood. The house was filled with wondering people. The Spirit of God fell on one and another who were consciously baptized in the Spirit. And as they were baptized in the Spirit, each in turn broke into the song of joy in other tongues. As the sister's song continued, her brother, who had been a very wicked man, a black sheep of the family, and who had been out all night, came in. As he stood looking at the glorified face of his sister and listened to the angelic song, the Spirit of God so smote him that he fell on his knees, threw up his hands, and confessed his sins, some of which it would not be wise to record. He called on God for pardon and salvation, and after a time arose praising God. I cannot describe the glory of that moment. As the sun arose over the mountains and its mellow rays fell upon the sight, it seemed as if we were no longer in this world, but had been elevated out into the very presence of the holy angels and the King of Glory. The joy of God so enraptured our hearts that the only thing we could do was to praise God. I remember walking out under the orange trees. My soul flooded with the wonder, the glory, and the magnificence of the revelation of God's Spirit falling again upon my own, as it did on the day of Pentecost, hearing with my own ears the shouts of joy, the glorified praises of our Redeemer in the languages of the Spirit, and the wondering multitude undoubtedly heard, as the wondering multitude undoubtedly heard on the day of Pentecost. 8 years have passed since then, but the glory of that hour remains in my spirit still. On the congregation, Monday night, the church was again packed to the doors. All available standing room was taken. The news had spread throughout the city. Many had come out of mere curiosity. A great company of the rougher elements of the city filled the standing space around the door. They were crowded shoulder to shoulder. I was in the act of preaching when suddenly the Spirit of God fell on the thickest of the group near the door, and a dozen men fell across one another in a heap under the power. Their friends were so amazed that they rushed from the church. Others caught their friends by the arms and literally dragged them out of the church. Some they even carried to the club rooms across the street. and in their ignorance tried to revive them by pouring whiskey down their throats. Many were saved and baptized in the Spirit that night. The meeting broke up sometime about daylight. I don't know about you, but my reading those wonderful accounts, those manifestations of the Spirit, the falling of the Spirit, the dealings of the Spirit, supernaturally, even without human intervention, dealing with men's hearts, bringing them under conviction, bringing them through to salvation, baptizing them in the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. How wonderful. Let's pray. Father, we bow down before you. Our hearts hunger, Lord, to see you working for natural ways to save men, to deliver them, to fill them in this hour. Oh, Father, how we need your help. It's not by might. It's not by anything we as human beings can do, Lord. It's the working, the manifestations of your Spirit that convince, that cleanse, all that consecrate. Father, we enjoy hearing about Dr. Lake and his life, the remarkable things that you did through him. Father, we don't want to just be spectators. We want to pick up the torch. We want to be participators. We want to run the next lap of the race that he began. Father, let these words, these accounts, though they happened many years ago, stir our hearts today. Father, so that we can resist formalism and just follow your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, Father. Amen.
That makes you whole again.